And I like that new song we sang today too, that one tagline, when God says, if I'm not dead, you're not done. I love that, that we're all in process. We're all just in that improving, getting closer to God stage. And sometimes it feels like two steps forward, three steps back, or two forward, one back. But God is still working and he's still doing great things. We had a good time yesterday with the drive-through prayer out in the streets, and lots of honks and waves and ministering to people. And thanks for all those who came out and served. And thanks to Robin who organized that, and Julius, our outreach director, for putting that all together. It's really great. So let's get into the word this morning. Get out your Bibles. Turn to Psalm 46. Psalm 46. Okay, you need your Bibles. Get your pencils and your pens and get ready to take some notes. In our second message in our God's Playlist for the Soul, this is a song that we need to dwell upon. Psalm 46. It's a song to bring calm to us. Some songs rev us up. Some songs, you know, get us motivated. You know, sometimes you play, go to a sporting event, and they've got the rowdy music playing to get the crowd pumped up. This is a song that is to bring ourselves down. When we're chaotic and we're keyed up and we're stressed and we're worried, this song says, hold on, just wait a minute, everything's going to be okay. See, I like water, but I really like water from the deck of a cruise ship. That's where I really like water. And I've been on cruises and I look over the vast ocean. I think, man, what is out there? I would hate to be stranded out there on that water. And I couldn't imagine being in a small boat out in a huge body of water so big that you can't see the banks anywhere. And then having a storm that is lethal whip up, winds and waves crashing. We know in the Bible, in the New Testament, there was a situation just like that, where Jesus was with his disciples and they were crossing from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And in the middle of that great body of water, one of the storms that's very common in northern Israel struck. And it struck with such ferocity that these professional fishermen, now half of the disciples were professional fishermen. These guys were used to being on the water. But this storm was so great and so powerful that even these guys were afraid for their life. All the while, Jesus is sleeping in the bottom of the boat. He's got his pillow, he's got his covers, and he's all wrapped up nice and cozy. But the disciples are seeing this scene. Jesus asleep and the waves crashing and the wind blowing. And they're seeing that something's not right here. He's resting, the waves are crazy, and in the middle of all that, we're freaking out. We're afraid for our life. And they cry out to Jesus, Jesus, don't you care? That's a powerful phrase. Don't you care that we drown? Have you ever been there? When you cry out to Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care that the world is falling apart? Don't you care about Corona? Don't you care about the racial tensions? Don't you care about the violence in the streets? Don't you care about the chaos in our electoral process and the fighting between parties? Don't you care that fires are raging and that hurricanes are threatening our south and southern coasts? Don't you care? I know we all feel that sometime. Jesus, who was sleeping in the boat, was perfectly calm. And when they aroused him from his sleep, he got up and he said these words, be still. That's it. Be still. And at his command, the waves were calm like glass. At his command, the wind stopped blowing. At his command, the disciples were in awe. And they were shocked because at his word, the weather obeyed him. The disciples said, who is this? That's kind of a dumb question, don't you think? I'm thinking there's really only one that could do something like that. And that's the one who made the waves and the wind in the first place. In the midst of this 2020 storm, I want to read out of Psalm 46 to help you remember and to help you hear the words of God when he's still saying, be still. Be still. I am your ever-present help. I am your ever-present judge. I am the ever-present ruler. Be still and know that I am God. See, in the boat, I believe that Jesus was saying, be still, not just to the winds and the waves, but Jesus was also saying, be still to the hearts of those disciples. That he wasn't just commanding the winds and the waves to quiet down. He was talking to their hearts. And he's saying, guys, quiet down. I'm asleep in the boat. I'm not freaking out. I'm not worried. If I'm with you, you're going to be okay. If I'm in your boat, you're not going to drown. And when you say, do you care? That's a statement of doubt. That's a statement of a lack of faith. He's still saying, be still today. In the midst of COVID-19, church, be still. God is bigger than any sickness. In the midst of our nation in chaos, let's remember, the U.S. is not heaven. Be still. In the midst of nations clashing against nations, be still, because one day the nations are going to worship together. In the midst of racial tensions, be still. One day Jesus is going to bring all the peoples and all nations together to be one body to worship him. In the midst of chaotic elections, be still, because the president is not the king. There's one king, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Be still. God's got this. That's the sign I held up for a couple of hours yesterday on Stelling Road, standing out on our median. God's got this. And amidst that time, as the cars drove by and some kept their gaze straight ahead, not wanting to make eye contact, others would look and give me a thumbs up. Others would wave. Others would honk. We've got to let the world know God's got this. But how can we let them know God's got this if we're not so sure God's got this? Psalm 46 says, be still. Let me read this passage to you. For the director of music of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. Now that's the little heading above the actual words. I'll explain those in a minute. And then the psalm reads, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with surging. Selah. Verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Verse 8, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Heavenly Father, I pray in Jesus' name that the reading of this scripture, you will speak it into our hearts that it might stay there and that it might take a residence inside of us, that we would truly know you are our ever-present help and that we can be still. You are God, and we exalt you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me give you some background on the heading of this so you get a little bit about the psalm. The sons of Korah wrote this psalm, and they wrote 11 other psalms in this collection of 150 songs. Now, if you remember, Korah was their ancestor. Now, when it says the sons of, it doesn't mean like their direct sons. It means in the line of. And so Korah was that guy who was a leader in the nation of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness. And if you remember the story, that he didn't like the way Moses was running the nation. And he and a few other of his buddies got together and they rebelled against Moses and they rejected his leadership and they came against him. Well, God spoke to Moses and said, okay, here's what we're going to do. You separate Korah and his people on one side and get all those who are on your side with you. And God caused the earth to tremble, and the earth opened up and swallowed Korah and 250 others and then closed up after him. That's powerful. Don't mess with God's anointed. Well, not all of Korah's people died in that particular instance. Numbers 26 tells us that not all of his children and family perished in that moment. And others, sons of Korah, were redeemed. And God preserved Korah's line, even in his rebellion. And they became choir leaders and song directors and songwriters in the temple of David many, many generations later. This says a song by the sons of Korah. Then it says Alamoth. That's a strange word. It's a musical term. Remember, these sons of Korah were choir directors and song leaders, kind of like Pastor Sean. And Alamoth means that this particular song is to be sung in the high ranges or by women. Interesting. Not that the men can't relate to the song, but in their particular writing of the song, they wanted it to be sung in those sweet, beautiful soprano voices. But it's strange that even in that, there's a defiant tone about the psalm, that it's this God will do in spite of, though the nations rage, though the earth and the seas tremble, though there are wars, God is God. And there's this strong, defiant tone. And it's got a lot of apocalyptic images here, that there's this imagery of the final days when the earth truly will melt away. And the picture of Jesus in heaven, the God of the Most High, while the nations rage against him, but yet then he brings them under submission. And God from his heaven causing wars to cease, as we know he will do one day in our future. There's three stanzas of lyrics in this, all separated by this word, Selah. The first stanza, verse 1 through 3, the second stanza, 4 through 7, and the third stanza, 8 through 11. This word Selah is also a musical term. And if you know music at all, in music there are rests, that where there are lyrics and then there's a pause. Sometimes a pause just in the lyrics, sometimes a pause in the music itself. And that's what Selah means. It has a secondary meaning, and that secondary meaning is forever. So you could apply both of those. I think in this case, it's more musical, but the forever can be applied that once you say that phrase, we're supposed to pause and reflect on what was just said and then affirm with the amen. So be it. This will be forever. So as we go through the psalm, let's pay attention to how it might have sounded with the voices of the ladies singing in their beautiful voices and the high voices together. And then thinking about each of the phrases as we go through. So let's start out. Phrase number 1, verse 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Selah. God is our ever-present help. He's our ever-present help. Now here's what I know. If we're going to live a life of faith, if we're going to live a life that is growing and strong in Jesus, we've got to know three things. We've got to know to trust God, or rather, we have to trust God for who he is. We have to trust God for where he is, and we have to trust God for when he is. And that's all wrapped up in this first phrase. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in time of trouble. See, ever-present is here and now. God is in control now. God is our refuge and strength. That's who he is. God is present. That's where he is. And God is present now. That's when he is. See, it doesn't do any good for God to be strong, but somewhere else. It doesn't do any good for God to show up tomorrow when you needed him today. It doesn't do any good for God to be present but weak. God is with you now, and God is strong. Who is God to you? Where is God to you? When is God to you? Is he powerful? Or does the chaos of this world loom a bit larger than God's strength? Is he present? Or does he appear to be a bit distant or even absent? Is he your protector? Or do the threats of this world leave you a bit threatened? Do you trust his timing even when his timing is not your timing? God is our refuge. That's your asylum that you can run and be protected from all other things. God is your strength. That's assertive power. The strength that you do not have. God is ever present. He is very accessible. He is easy to find. God says, seek me and you'll find me. When you seek me with all of your heart. He's not playing hide and go seek. God's not ducking around a rock trying to make it hard on you. He says, come, taste and see. I'm good. You'll find me when you seek me. No matter what, no matter how huge the onslaught is, no matter what we're facing, no matter the wind is blowing so hard and the waves are crashing over the bow of your life, he is your refuge, your strength, and he is there now. He's your ever-present help. He's only that when we call on him by faith, though. There's a lot of folks living in the world right now that God is ever-present. A sovereign, all-knowing, omnipresent God can't be away from people. No matter where anybody is on the face of this earth, God is with them. But there's so many who don't know that. He's right there with them, but they don't recognize it because their eyes have not been opened by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the faith. Sometimes we, even who have faith, don't recognize him when he's right there. Because all the other distractions, the winds and the waves, blind us to the presence of God. He's here now. He's accessible now. He's near now. And he is your ever-present help. Do we call on him first? The disciples worked. They said they were straining against the oars. They were doing everything they could to keep afloat. And as a last resort, they turned to sleeping Jesus and said, don't you care that we drown? Is Jesus often a last resort for you? Yeah, I tried this call and I read that book and I took advice from this person and I went here and I went there and I searched out everything and then I finally decided to pray and seek out God. You see, fear is magnified when you feel everything depends on you. I need to say that again because it's true. Fear is magnified when you feel everything depends on you. And I want to tell you right now, God is your ever-present help. Be still. Be still. Know that he is God. He's your ever-present help. He is your refuge. He is your strength. Though the mountains will crash into the sea, though the sea rages and foams, doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. God is your ever-present help. He will be there always. No matter what happens, don't be afraid. No matter what, because fear robs you of life. How much of life have you missed out on because you were afraid? I'll never forget being in Uganda, Africa, on a missions trip, and a few of us decided to go on a river raft down the Nile River. Awesome experience. But right there at the beginning of the raft area was a 149-foot tall bungee jump, a big crane-like thing with the water below. And on this particular day, Jim Thompson, myself, and my son Eric decided to take the jump. And the day before, Jason Scarbeck had done it. And we thought, Jason can do it, we can do it. And so we decided to do that. We paid our money, we went up to the top. And to my motivation, I guess, Eric decided to go first. And it was beautiful. He got all strapped up, his ankles were all there. And he just, and he went off. It looked awesome. But I was scared after that. I thought, oh man, I don't want to do this. But I had Eric in front of me. I can't wimp out when my son just did it, so now I got to do it. And then Jim's behind me, and I'm not wimping out. I know Jim will do it. So they bound me all up and put my ankles in there, or wrapped up with the bungee cord and got me to the edge. And they say, all you got to do is pretend like you're doing a swan dive out over the water, and it'll be perfect. You'll love it. Oh, great. I'm in now. It's too late to turn back. And they, one, two, three. And I jumped out of the thing, And I don't remember anything else until the spring back up. And it bounces you and it bounces you and it bounces you until you get to the bottom and it settles. And the guys down below said, "Oh, you missed it." And I went, "What do you mean I missed it?" They go, "Oh, all you had to do was, you were in this great swan dive. All you had to do was reach up your hands and you would have slapped the water. It would have been awesome." I said, "I don't even remember getting near the water." I was so scared, I literally blacked out mid-trip. And I didn't come to until the recoil of that thing. And you know, it was so much fun. And I know, it's fun. Are you kidding me? You said you blacked out. It was so much fun, I wanted to do it again, because then I knew after the first time it was safe. Then I knew after the first time the exhilaration, but you see, I couldn't do it again, and I missed half the ride. And I learned a lesson that day about fear. You can be afraid and miss a lot of the ride. And in this life, there's no second chances. You don't get to go back up to the top and do it again. How much of life have you missed because of fear? God is your ever-present help. He will watch over you. He will be with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. I love this commercial. I think Will Smith is talking and he says, "Everybody gets scared, so do it scared." I kind of love that. We all get scared, but we've got God. So let's do it with God. God is with us. He is for us. God is with you, and he's for you. Can we just say this together? Say it with me, would you? God is with me, and God is for me. Let's say it again. God is with me, and God is for me. Therefore, I won't be afraid. He's my ever-present help in time of trouble. He's my refuge and my strength. Though the waters and the mountains roar, he's our ever-present help. So be still. Number two, he's our ever-present judge. Verse 4-7. This stanza speaks in contrast to stanza one, where stanza one is about the turmoil in the earth. Stanza two speaks about the wonder of the heavenly kingdom. It translates us to that holy dwelling place where God dwells, and the roaring waters are changed to a beautiful stream that runs through the city of God, reminding us of Revelation 21 and 22, that heavenly picture. We're not afraid because, verse 4, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at the break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. But he lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Selah. Let's think about that one for a minute. Listen, God is not asleep in the bow of your life. God is wide awake, and God is for you, and God is working. God is not away from us in heaven. God ruled. That picture is his authority, is his strength and his power. But it's to remind us that is existing now. While the nations roar down below, God is ever present in his authority, in his power, in his rule, and he's judging. Nobody else is in charge but God. You say, "Well, why doesn't God do something then about all this craziness?" Relax, he will. Be patient. Have you read the end of the story? He does come, and he does put everything in order. But he's being patient that none should perish. That's another message for another day. But God is in control. He's from his holy place, it says, God's dwelling. Remember Revelation 21 and 22. Read that and refresh your mind. He judges by the word of his voice. And the Almighty is our fortress, that inaccessible place, that unassailable place. God is our fortress. What I want to focus on, though, is that middle one. He judges and he rules by the word of his voice. See, I don't know about you. I can get angry at the chaos in the world. And I often get so frustrated at just all the chaos, all the stuff That's just like, it's just this cauldron of boiling life that we're stuck in right now. And it's very, very easy to get upset. And I oftentimes find myself getting frustrated at people, at leaders, at decisions and things. And I read Romans chapter 12. We read this in Jesus Jumpstart this week. And it says, "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink." That while the nations are in chaos, my job as a Christian is to be still and to love others, to care for others. God's got the other stuff. God's the one who's going to judge. God's the one who's going to repay. God's the one who knows exactly what to do and in his just way. And God will do it. It's my job to be faithful. It's my job to be still and love. And he judges by his voice, it says. It says, nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. You realize in Scripture, God is never pictured as fighting battles. There's a lot of talk about warfare and battling, but literally, God never takes up sword and spear. God just speaks. And that's all the battle there is. There's no more battle. God just says it, and that's it. Revelation 1:15 says, out of his mouth comes a double-edged fiery sword. Revelation 19:15, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he created by the word of his power. In the story of the disciples on the boat, he spoke, and the waves and the wind stopped. See, God judges by his word, and we are called to live by that word, lest we be judged by it. He created the world with his word, and he judges the world by his word. But he also comforts and redeems and saves the world by his word. The living word, Jesus in flesh, came to earth. Remember John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word dwelt among us and gave his life for us. Church, if we're going to be still, if we're going to be at rest, when all the world is in chaos, it's only going to be by his word. We don't fear because of his word. When we know his word, it chases away the fears, it straightens our thinking, and it brings peace to our lives. We've got to know our Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Learn your Bible. Memorize your Bible. Go to Bible study. Talk about the Bible. Ingest the Bible. Meditate on the Bible. For it is the Word of God. That is his power, his creative power, his redemptive power, his judging power, his comforting power, his saving power, his Word. Isn't it amazing that the pretty much the lone tactic of Satan is for us to doubt his word? Genesis chapter 3. Did God really say? Doubt the word. Doubt the word. Doubt the word. Get too busy for the word. Get too, you know, keyed up for the word. Get too, oh, I'm not in the mood to read the word. Oh, I'm too tired to read the word. Oh, I got too much going on to read the word. You're headed down the wrong path. You're headed right down the path of a chaotic life. You won't be still without the word. It's his voice that says, peace, be still. It's his voice that speaks to your life and says, be still. When you read his word, meditate on his word, obey his word, you know what you'll find? You'll find stillness coming into your life. Because that's what his word does. His word is power. What's your favorite verse? Maybe you've got dozens of them. I do. If you ask me what your favorite verse is, I couldn't say one. There are dozens and dozens and dozens of them. But Isaiah 40 verse 8 is applicable for today when it says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. The stanza says, the mountains fall, the kingdoms fall, but the city of our God will never fall. That gives you peace. That stillness in your heart. First stanza, he's our ever-present help. Be still. Second stanza, he is our ever-present judge. Trust his word. Third stanza, he is the ever-present ruler. Verse 8 through 11. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. I find it fascinating that this whole song is written about God until verse number 10. And then it shifts to first person. It's God is this, God is this, God is this. But verse 10 comes and it's as if God takes the writer's pencil and says, no, I'm writing this part. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still. How are we still with God as the ruler? Well, first it says, come and see. Doesn't that sound like Jesus' voice? John, book of John. Jesus, where are you going? Come and see. Jesus, we don't understand. Come and taste. The angel at the tomb, come, look inside. Jesus is always saying, come, 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 come and see. Come and find out. Come and know. Come have peace. Come. Be still. Now, unless we misunderstand this verse, be still. This is not some gentle, quiet whisper, like a lover to a lover. Just nice and peaceful, no? When Jesus calmed the winds and the waves, he stood up and he said, be still. It was a rebuke before it was a comfort. Stop what you're doing. Waves. Stop what you're doing, wind. And he's saying that to us in a chaotic life. When we're, what's going on? I'm stressed, I'm anxious, I'm freaking out, I'm worried. What's going to happen? I don't know. God, Jesus, don't you care that we drowned? And Jesus is saying, be still. Be still. It's a correction before it's a comfort. But it truly is a comfort. Sometimes we're so harassed, we're so just crazy that we need a, you know, good slap to go, oh, okay, now I'm focused. And this is, it's not a slap, but it is a, hey, who am I here? Am I not your ever-present help, your refuge and your strength? Am I not the one who dwells on the Most High? Am I not the one who rules over the kingdoms? Am I not the one whose voice speaks and the nations melt and the earth melts away? Come and see what I've done. Do I not make wars to cease? Be still. Know me. Know me. And when we run around like chickens with our heads cut off, flailing and freaking out, our life speaks louder than our statement of faith. And we might say, yes, I know God, but our life is saying in its franticness, I don't know God. Because if I knew him, I wouldn't be so frantic. If I knew him, I could be still. Now, is this stillness a meditative, you know, lotus position, do nothing? It's not that at all. It's a stillness of the heart. You can be very, very active and still be still. You can be very hardworking and very busy and your calendar could be full and still be still. Because in the midst of the busyness, you're not freaking out. Look how many times Jesus was crazy busy. On many occasions, the crowds were around him. And the disciples were literally writing about and we felt like we were going to be crushed. But yet Jesus was still. We can be busy, working, doing what we do, planning, taking care of our needs, and be still. Because stillness is the awareness of God's presence. Stillness is the awareness that God's got this. Stillness is the absence of fear, the absence of worry, the absence of anxiety, the absence of that ungodly stress that says, I know I've got things to do. I know my life is busy. I know I've, you know, going to work a long day. I know there's things to take care of, but my soul is at rest. It is well with my soul, as we sing in our hymn. Isaiah 30, verse 15 to 18 says this. In repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and truth, in quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. 1,000 will flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five, you will all flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. But all alone, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. I've lived that passage when it says, no, I've got to do it. I'm going to flee on a horse. I'm going to flee on a swift horse. I'm going to do it. I've got this. I got to go. I got to work it. I'm going to do this. And God says, okay, knock yourself out. Because no matter how good you think your efforts will be, the chaos is still faster than you. You can't escape it. You found that out, right? You can work and work and work and work, and things are still crazy. I found this. I can work and work and work at peace. Things still might be crazy, but I'm at peace. That's be still. That's be still. That's Jesus in the bottom of the boat while the winds and the waves were blowing. It's at peace. He wasn't asleep because there was no wind and waves. He was asleep in the midst of them. That's be still. And he's telling the disciples, this world is crazy. I know it's crazy. That's what sin does. That's what the evil one does. There will be a day, we call it heaven, when that'll all be done. But as of now, what we need is God to tell us, be still. I am your ruler. And I will be exalted among the nations and among the earth. See, the end in view is not our glory. The end in view is not our success. The end in view is not our pleasure. The end in view is not our comfort. The end in view is God's exaltation. And when we are still in the midst of the craziness, God gets exalted. Because that's evidence of the Creator inside man and the Spirit of God transforming a life. Receive this comfort. If you're harassed and going crazy, then receive it as a rebuke. Stop. Be still. If you're restless, receive it as a, let's slow down. Come on. I got this. God's with you. He's with me. Are you afraid? He's with you. Are you worried? He's eternal. He's never going to let you fall. Are you trusting in God's word? That's where the strength comes from. And are you hearing his voice beckoning you to come and see? Come and see. Come and experience. And you can find stillness in your life. He's your ever-present help, your ever-present judge, your ever-present ruler. And he's saying, rest. Be still. And know that I am God. I want to pray for you today. But church, if we're not still in the midst of a world like we're in today, then what hope does the world have? How can we be of any source of comfort and strength for the people in our lives when we're equally stressed out and anxious? You see, God has left us here for a reason, and that's the sake of lost souls. If the church has lost control, what hope is there for a world out of control? Let's be still and know that He is God. We can be still because of the promises of His word, and that we know He is our ever-present help. If you don't know Jesus today, you've got no alternative but to live crazy. That's all you've got. You just go with the waves and go with the wind and just hopefully your ship doesn't capsize. But if you know Jesus today, you've got a calming presence. You've got a powerful God who can bring stillness to your life. I want to pray with you today. Let's bow our heads. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that You would help us to become still and know that You are our ever-present help. You're here with us. You're here with us now. And You are here with us strong. Help us to trust Your word, the power of God, the living word that came to die for us. Help us today, Lord. If you're a Christian out there right now, you might pray something like this. Lord, today I trust You to be my refuge, to be my ever-present help. No matter what happens, I choose today to put my hope in You, to renew my devotion to Your word, knowing that that living word fills my soul and brings stillness to my life. Where I've been lax, I choose to renew that discipline of obedience to You. And God, today, I ask You to bring that stillness. I receive it as a loving discipline from a loving Father, that I'm going to be okay. Thank You, Lord, for that peace. If you don't know Jesus today, you might pray something like this. Lord Jesus, my life is a storm, and I don't have hope. I've tried everything. I've read every book. I've sought every counselor. I've tried every option, and I'm still being just beaten by this chaotic life. I know that I need You today, and I believe You are the Son of God, and You are my Savior. Today I choose to follow You. I don't know what all that means. I don't know how it all works, but here's what I know, that I've got to take the first step, and today I choose to submit my life to You, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed those words as a first-time commitment to Christ, please do this. Go to our website on the Prayer and Connection tab on the homepage. There'll be a form. We call it our connection card. Please fill that out and write, I accepted Jesus today, or I would like more information on what it means to follow Jesus. Write that, and I'll be sure to get in touch with you and help you along. This truly is life and death. It really, really is. For with Jesus is eternal life. Without Jesus is the alternative, and that's death. Come. Let the God who is your ever-present help bring stillness to your soul. Amen. Next week, read up on Psalm 23. Maybe the most beloved psalm in all the 150. But let's read that one for next week. But let's close today with our Revelation 1, 5-6 passage. Let's say it together. Okay, let's get this in our mind. To Him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by His blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve God and His Father, to Him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. God bless you, lifers. Let's go live at peace this week. God bless you.